Señor Andrew, tell me, please.
455.
455. We were not too far away, okay? Thank you, Andrew. 455. For this one, and now we get Señorita Grace.
334.
Say it again.
334.
334. All right. 334. Yes. We are right there. Be thou my vision. We've seen that this morning, so we've seen one stanza. This, well, I've seen the first one, the last one too. All right. 334. Greg Tomlinson Jr.'s song. Jesus loved me. Well, all the young people come here, and I think it's 479, and all these pastoral choir that goes from 3 to 8 or something. All right. 479 is a classic here in the evening. Tricia, my gorgeous, precious here. You sit at the front, put in the front yourself, all right? All these young people and those who are little growing. Oh, this is going to be a good choir right here. All right. Oh, good. Yeah, this is going to be a good choir. 479, this is a special choir from the pastor presentation to the entire nation. Here we go. All right. Thank you. Third generation of our church people. All right. Some of them. Okay, that's good. Now, Senora Anvir, tell me. 299. 299 requests from... this is a gospel song, day by day. It's wonderful. 299. I hope you have it in your hand to praise the Lord. And if you're home with the hymn books, you just can look on it. As many of you told me that tonight you're going to be on. And by the way, if you are, when we have the question time, you can participate. This is the first time we can do it, but you can participate by calling us at 408-778-2595. We put you on the air right away here in the back. And we hear your question and perhaps we answer. Oh, you have something to say about Revelation. Again, 408-778-2595, directly to the transmission tower. All right, number 299. Tell me. 206. 206?
Yeah.
Oh, the amazing grace of God. That's a wonderful. And where is Jimmy? Around here? I see you have Jimmy. Or get the. Oh, you got the microphone. You're ahead of me. All right. It's good to have an assistant who is ahead of you, no? And is on the ball. Thank you, Jimmy. All right. Number 206 in our hymn book. This is a very high qualified, very, very talented hymn, all right? For those who know how to sing, you can go really high. Be careful for the bean here on top of me and so on, all right? Number 206, the amazing, wonderful grace of Jesus. was wonderful. And let's give a good hand for taking my picture. All right? That was wonderful. Talented people come from all parts of the world. All right? And Tayon is from Korea. And for those who are listening, she is married. So don't worry about it. Okay? I know the guys in the East Coast. All right. So what a blessing to have you and Henry with us. And to share, like we talked this morning, to share the talents and the abilities and the gift that God has given us. In the meantime, I prefer the lighting here. You can get your Bible on Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read the first three verses. If we get in the scripture, we look to the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, as we're trying to recall what we learned, and also we try to see the right perspective. And there are certain information you need to know that I knew last Sunday. I kept it to myself, and I need to let you know what I'm doing so that you know where I'm going. And so on. So I redone a little bit the slides for you. And for those who are listening, we have a screen on my left, a projector in the center, and a computer on the other side, just to see what we say and to see if the Word of God says what we say, the Word of God say. I've become like the guy in the in Wednesday night, remember? He played with the word chance and the chance and no chance and so on. Revelation chapter 1 is reading from the King James Version, will be the central Bible in translation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants the things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's pray. Father, we just read the holy word of God. We tremble before it and we pray that you will shine here, that you will be clear and magnificent and powerful as we look upon this precious word of the last book of the Bible. Bless each one of us and those who are listening via internet, and later on those who listen via the cassette of CD ministry, that they too may be excited, completely taken by the marvelous revelation of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Now, as we begin this study, this is the book of Revelation, all right? And what we're going to do next then is give you an idea of the study that we're going to make. In any Bible study who is led in a complete way, let's see if I can, there are three things involved. Number one, the text that you want to use. There are so many texts. You know there are more than 56 English translations of the Bible. And so we're going to use the King James Version together with the Revised Standard Version. Now, the Revised Standard Version was first, and then the King James that you read now today. So they are similar, they are sisters, and they are words that in the 1800s they were adjusted to each other. And now, the first thing that we're going to do is what it says. It's called exegesis. You just read it, and then you said, this is what it says, all right? And the Bible said a white cow, it was a white cow, and white is white, and cow is cow. Now, if you tell me that cow is a dog, and white is black, and I read to you a white cow, and you tell me, see, that is a black dog, then either you are crazy or I'm crazy, one of the two. And we will never come to understanding. And that's what happened in theology. Interpretation has taken the place of exegesis. And people no longer read what the Bible says. They read what the interpretation says. All right? Good. Now, The second thing we're going to do is the exposition. And I'm going to use for the exposition another Bible. The exposition is what it means. It always has to be in accordance with the scripture. The New Jerusalem Bible has a very smooth translation, and I want to read it for you. And so it's another good translation that we're going to look and see the exposition of what it says. And then the outline, finally, of content. And all these three things will happen in every session so that we don't leave a long space between one. The literary structure of Revelation. In other words, if you pick up a book of Revelation, and if you have a Thompson Bible, for example, you will see that there is the outline. Well, who made the outline? A man made the outline. He read it, and he said, this is the structure. Now, the structure of Revelation, you and I want to make it tonight. Because the Holy Spirit is involved in teaching us and in revealing us the things that we need to know. So remember, in each study will be the text involved, the passage that we read, the exposition. We're going to see what that passage really means. And then the outline, how can we put in simple words, in one or two lines, what we have learned that particular moment. All right, now let's start. Revelation chapter 1, and you have your Bible, and on the screen is Revelation chapter 1, and see what we can point out in Revelation chapter 1. The first thing I want to point out, and soon I'm going to have another computer, which is called tablet, and I'm going to circle the things in my hand, and going to be circled right there on the screen and so on. It's going to be beautiful and easier. Now, you see, the revelation, says verse 1 in your Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I question the style. What kind of a style is this book? Well, I don't have to guess too much. This book is a revelation because I got it from here. See, what kind of a style? And now I'm going to show you the styles the Bible used for writing books. If, for example, you go to the Gospel of Luke. If you go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, each book has a style and reveals what really the book is for. All right? First, the style of the book. Verse 1 reveals on the first line the style. It's a revelation. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says this, "For as much as ye have taken in hand to set for in order the declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of word." Look at what Luke said. "It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first," or first hand, "to write unto you in the in order." And so the Gospel of Luke is a literary work. It's called a history journal, a historical journal. He said there are other works already in the market, and he's talking about the Lebanon, the Syria. There were other works about what Jesus has done. In view of that, Theophilus was a professor in Lebanon. In view of that, I'm going to write this. And so I'm going to put things in order because I was an eyewitness, all right? So it's a historical journey. If you go to Acts chapter 1, the same author, he writes again, and now he insists that he's writing a journal so that we know what really happened. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible said, "The former treated have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles." And so here comes another journal, and this is the journal of the history of the church. So here you have then, in the writings of the Bible, you have, for example, the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. They are journals, all right? Now, also, in the literary form, they are letters. Let me show you Romans, for example. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, people said this is a historical, philosophical, magnificent work of theology. It was a letter to a church of seven people, all right? And look at how beautiful. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And look at verse 7, to whom he is writing this. In verse 7, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. That's the people of Rome, okay? And so here is, when we see something like that, the church has changed the name, this for the book of theology, but this is it's just a general letter to the entire church. Not to one person, but to the entire church. Now, there are in the Bible letters to one person that are called personal letters. Let's go to the letter of Titus, for example. You have Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians, and Timothy, and after Timothy, you got Titus. And then in Titus, chapter 1, you will have here the understanding, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elected and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And then in verse 4, he tells to Titus. Now, this letter that we hold and study and apply to our life was written to one man, one of his disciples. And Titus was left, Barnabas was left in Crete and evangelized the entire island there. And then nobody organized church. And as I told you in the morning, there is no loose Christianity. You cannot say we are a bunch of people without pastor and without elders and without pastors. That doesn't exist in the Bible. And so look at in verse 5 what he says. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, and have appointed thee. In other words, I don't want you to have groups of people meeting for the gospel purpose without an organization, without a leadership. And that's how God works until he comes. All right? And so, you see, this is a personal letter. So now going back in what I did there on the screen, verse 1, the first thing that I learned from verse 1 is the style of the letter. It is not a personal letter. It is not a general letter. It is not a journal. It's a revelation. And you say, revelation? What do you mean? What do you understand for revelation? Is anybody, you just can voice it and these microphones will pick it up. What do you understand is a revelation? Anybody? Tell me, what's a revelation? Brother Ken, what's a revelation?
To be revealed.
Yeah, something to be revealed. A disclosure. I look in the Articles of Law of the United States. When somebody says, I have a revelation, it's a disclosure. They are classified revelation, and they are general revelation in the United States. Classified belong to the government. General belong to the public. And so here's what it is. This is now a general revelation. Why? The God kept a secret? Let's go back. I put over there Daniel, D-N-L, is Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 9. Will you please go with me to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9, all right? And you will see why God start this book in this fashion by saying, here is a revelation. Now, the book of Daniel, which is a book of prophecy, and you want to learn in a minute that this also is a book of prophecy. The book of Daniel was the history of Daniel himself. That's true. But not only was the history of Daniel himself, this is God dealing with Daniel in a very particular way. And Daniel was so smart and so faithful that he's asking questions to God back and forth, back and forth. And I think if Daniel was an engineer, he's making a chart. Because look at what God said in verse 9 here. He said, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. You see that? In the book of Daniel, God said to Daniel, that's it. I don't reveal you anymore. You are a smart cookie, and you want to try to get what's going to happen. And can you imagine the people of the Old Testament didn't know that the church will come into place? That's what Daniel wanted to know. Is we Israel the one that's going to face God in progress or somebody else? They didn't know that the church will come into place, substitute Israel, and become the voice of God until he come. The Jew thought that when Israel is gone, then God will come.
That's what they thought. And so God that said, I don't want to speak anymore. Close the book. Now, the book of Revelation is start with the word, the revelation. That revelation. And so now you know why the style is, this has never been heard before. Nobody have heard this before. Nobody knew this before. And now is a revelation. And that's why it's so different, this book, from any book of the Bible. Actually, this book picks up with Daniel close. All right? And so reveals this. Now, what is the source of this revelation? Is it a man? Is somebody who's smart and now has visited with God and God revealed to him, like the Islamic religion, excuse me, who tried to say that, you know, Muhammad has the latest, or the Mormon people who said that Smith has the latest revelation and so on. No, look at the source, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God. And remember, I said the word God over there was Deus, Zeta, Epsilon, Omicron, Sigma. That means that is the head. That is the head. God, God, the God of the Bible, see? God gave unto him, or God gave him. And the original, you don't have the word unto, and it was added in the year 1500, but gave him directly, see? And so the source of this revelation is God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16, because you know 2 Timothy 3:16 well, and it is part of our church canon, I will say, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, and you know then, and it's amazing how in church, this book of Revelation was, I remember I told you, was not recognized as a book of the Bible, because it will tell things unbelievable. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 said, excuse me, it's not 2 Timothy 3:16, it's 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, last Sunday I did the same mistake, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. No, I don't look for that. Let me see, maybe it's 2 Timothy. It is 2 Timothy, all right. Okay, here it is. Thank you, my brother, Laura Jr. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16. I've got it. I was reading 4 before. Okay, here we are. All is scripture is given by inspiration of God. All inspiration of God means revelation of God. I mean, God has breathed the scripture, okay? And it's profitable for doctrine, which is teaching. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect and so or complete. And so without the Bible, the man of God is not complete. And so we have here, will you put it a little bit left? Okay, good. We have here the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation is telling us that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, God is the source of that revelation. And so we take that revelation out of 2 Timothy 3:16, that this is the word of God and nothing more, nothing less. Is this the word of God? Then who is the writer? If you look in verse 1, they tell you who is the writer, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants what must soon take place, and he sent and make it known by sending his angels to his servant John. So John is the writer, okay? So the revelation, this is a book of Revelation, a disclosure. It is a disclosure that came from God, and the writer of this revelation is John. Now, I want you to take with me 2 Peter, please, in chapter 1, verse 21. See if you have it, because the book of Revelation has to match exactly the rest of the Bible to be a book in the Bible. And remember, this is written over the year 100, way before all the apostles are left. And remember, that was said by Jesus in John 21, you will live to John. Remember? You will survive everybody. You will live till I come. In other words, until his revelation comes. And John is an elderly. This is the year 104, 105. Russell, did you got first 2 Peter 1:21?
And if you can read it for us, and Brother Jimmy, will you stay right there beside, and Russell will read for us. Look at how this makes it just perfect to the scripture.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Okay, is that make sense? So the book of Revelation, so Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant what must soon take place, and he sent, make it known by sending his angels to the servant John. And so that is not an amendment. Some people say, you may read commentaries to say, this is an amendment, this is the works of a man. No, this is the way that God works. He inspired man, and he writes. Now, later on, in chapter 22, you will learn that he is the last writer. Because he said, is anybody add or take away from this book, I give you the place of the book of Exodus. And so, therefore, he is the last writer. When we get to chapter 22, you will learn that this book closed the canon, what we call it. All right. So the book of Revelation then is a style, is a disclosure. The source is God, the writer is John, and the transmission. Remember I told you there was very, got my attention, why did God go to this articulation to see how the revelation came? If you look in verse 1, he says, which God gave unto him. Now, him is Jesus. The ending of this word is equal to the ending of this word. That's how you know, it's called in grammar, the antecedent. That's why you need to memorize all the Greek endings. Very important. It starts with os, on, eis, eis, on, his. See? And then you go to the feminine, and then you go to the neutral, and then you go back again to the next things. It's just fantastic, because once you know that, you know which word is like a puzzle in Greek. When you write this word and you want to say him to this word, then you have to write this word exactly at the end, exactly at these two words. And it's just perfect. God chose a perfect philosophical language to express himself. All right, here we are. Look at what he said. God give to Christ to show unto his servant what must soon take place, and he sent and make it known by sending his angels unto John. So there are three people, I said. There are three people involved here. First is God, then is Christ Jesus, and then is John. And we don't know who was the angel who intervened and do it. But at least there are three people. God used the transmission of three people, and finally get to John. So we get God, Jesus, the angel, and John, actually four, then let's put it, four transmission, God, Jesus, the angel, and John. And you know that this is God, because nothing was lost. No, you say something to somebody, say telling somebody, I'm very sure that when the third or fourth person get your message, will be a little different, all right? Remember, there is a game like this, at least that you say somebody something, then keep saying, at the end, you want to hear what you say is almost different. All right, and here is the perfect way to know that God is speaking, God, Jesus, the angels, and John. Now, what's the purpose? Why did God wrote Revelation? If you look again in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 1, the King James Version said this, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must surely come to pass. And you can translate that, and this is from the Revised Standard, what must soon take place, the Revised Standard put in that. And that word take is what is in the original, take. So what must soon take place. And so the purpose on writing a Revelation is to reveal, to disclose something. Now, two things I learned from this. If you go to Amos here in the Old Testament, in chapter 3, and in verse 7, I think God told John that he will not die until he really sees God. All right? You go to Amos in chapter 3, and in verse 7, and you will have it here. Laura Jr. have it. Where are you, Jimmy? Laurel Jr. have it. He's going to read it for us. in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Listen carefully to the words of God through the prophet Amos.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
God will do nothing till he reveals the secret unto his servant, the prophet. Now, we know by Matthew chapter 14 that John was the last prophet, said the Bible. And I don't want to make this study too long, so you can check in home. In Matthew 14, John is called the last prophet. And Anthony read for us, the Amos said, God will not do anything until he revealed the secret to his prophet. Now, to his prophet. Now, some people claim this today. I'll tell you that. Some people claim this today. God will not do this until he reveals it to me. I'm his prophet. You are not his prophet. I have news for you. Who were his prophets? The people that God chose, Ryan, and the people that were at the time in which the book was written. Once the book is closed, there is no need of prophecy because the book revealed everything we need to know. So if somebody comes to you and says, I'm a prophet, you can say to him, in the Greek word, the word prophet means preacher or revealer. Which one of the two are you? And he said, a revealer. I said, too bad. I said, the last one died 2,000 years ago, or 1,900 years ago in the year 104, that was John, all right? And so the reason why God said, I will reveal this, and what he's going to reveal to his prophet. What is it? Let's go to Matthew 28, very famous passage in the scripture, in Matthew chapter 28. We call it Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment of God. Remember when God sent his disciples. And there is a key word here in these verses that pertain to Revelation. Go ye therefore, said Matthew in chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of. Now, the King James had the word world. The Revised Standard had the word age, which is correct. The word age means this particular age in which we live. We live in the age of the church era. The Mercury published one editorial saying we live in the post-Christian era. I can't believe what they said, you know. I called the editor and I said, who do you listen? He said, no, I listened because I thought he listened to somebody. And he said, no, we listen to nobody. Seeing what happened, that nobody believes in God, he said, this is the post-Christian era. I said, well, do you go to church? No, well, go to church and find out people still believe in God. But there will be a post-Christian era where Christianity is gone and going to be the kingdom of God, said the Bible. I thought that he was talking theology. So, you know, we don't talk theology in the newspaper. We talk arguments so people call and buy the paper. All right. So here it is. Amos is said, God said, I will not do anything until I reveal it. The last servant, the last prophet is John. He revealed to John. What did he reveal to John? The end of the age. And I will be with you to the end of the age. And verse 20 here is this. So I wrote for my information here, a little letter. So I wrote this for me. And this is what I wrote. The purpose is, it's a deadline information about God's plan of redemption. A deadline information about God's plan of redemption. God is telling John, this is what I'm going to do, and one day it's finished. Because the Bible, even in Revelation, ends with hell. Remember, chapter 21, chapter 20, those who believe not were sent and cast into hell, and then talks about heaven and so on. Complete plan. And so the book of Revelation is a deadline information. This is going to happen soon, so it's a deadline information about what God is going to do about the plan of redemption. Now, remember that we went into 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, and God said that one day for God is 1,000 years,
and 1,000 years is one day. And so the deadline information, the speedy of these, is from the speaker point of view. And the speaker never is John. Remember, the speaker, who is it? It's God, right on the top. The speaker is God, right there, no John. And so from his point of view, he's going to do something very soon and end this age. And I want you, John, to know it, all right? So chapter 1, verse 1, it started with that kind of information. Now, we go to verse 2. Now, remember that there were three witnesses. There were three witnesses in this, four witnesses, actually. And verse 2 said this, who bore witness to the word of God, talking about John, to the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. So verse 2 is the validity of the revelation. For this revelation to be real, need to have a validity in court. And the court has to be the court of heaven. So will you look with me, please, Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 6. The validity of the script is this, that we we have at least three witnesses. We have God, we have Christ, we have John, and then we have the angels. But we know God, we know Christ, and we know John. These are witnesses that we can put a finger on. And Deuteronomy 17:6 reveal the scriptural way that God will accept judgment. Okay, who had it? All right. Okay, brother, this man. And will you stay out of that pew and stay in the back so that I can get you? All right. This man will do it. Okay? Go ahead, brother.
At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death.
In other words, if we have one witness that this is what God said, it will be questionable in the court, even though God said it. And that's why Matthew, two witnesses. God say it, actually three. God say it, Jesus testified, Matthew 19, and Paul enforced it, Ephesians chapter 5. Matrimony is an institution by God, legally. So three witnesses. So there are three witnesses. And so this is true. This is not playing around. We have three witnesses in the Bible. That's why this story in verse 1 elaborated on three witnesses, so that we can corroborate and we can say this is really real, because follow the scripture and follows the plan of God. All right? Now, let me go a little bit here and see if I find the next point in verse 3. All right? I want to get verse 3 for you. All right? We got Revelation here, and I got the next slide here, verse 2. All right, three witnesses, and now we got verse 3. Here it is. Now, verse 3, he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You see, again, the urgency. And you know, there are more than 150 times the Bible said the time is at hand. Now, there are three things to consider. Number one, the blessedness of Revelation. Now, what, read over there. I have written in a little light letters for me what that means. But tell me. In order to be blessed by Revelation, three things happen. Or two things actually happen, need to happen. What is it? Just speak from where we are. What are the two things? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things. What are the two things that are required in order to be blessed? Read it and, well, you read it or you hear it, okay? You read it or you hear it and keep it. Some people say, if you read Revelation, you are blessed. No, sir, you're not blessed. You're in trouble. You read Revelation, you read the demands of God. But it's reading and keeping. That, by the way, that's in all the scripture. Remember, I read for you Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and baptize and so on, 20, and teach them to observe all things. A pastor is not just a teacher. He's the guideline for you to let you know, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, because the blessing is in doing God's word.
There's a lot of philosophers over there who talks about God beautifully, but only the people who are doing God's word are the blessed one. Okay? So the blessedness is by the one who read. Now, look at what they said. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear it, the words of these prophets, and keep those things where they are. Okay? The words of these prophecy. In order for the prophecy to be real to you, what do you need to do? You need to believe. You need to believe it. So I ask the question, believe what? See, the words of this prophet, believe what? See, and believe the prophecy. The prophecy about what? Okay, now look at here. Words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What kind of time is at hand? Let me show you. The church already in the Bible discussed this. So let's go to the first time the God speak about this time. Acts 11:26. Acts 11 and verse 26. Look at what the Bible says. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Anybody want to participate in the reading? Brother Ken, you have it? Okay, Brother Ken will read it. Your daddy will read it. Acts 11:26.
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
All right, here's the first switch. Israel is gone. The church is in scenario. Here's the first scenario. Here's the first prophecy. Israel, who was the glory and might of God, who excelled in the life of Solomon and became the majestic glory of God on earth, is gone. And the church now is taking place. The church lives for about 40 years, believes what Jesus said, believe in his return. And I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That is the next step. The prophecy of God and revelation really take place. 1 Thessalonians, you are Philippians, you keep going, Colossians, and then Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to read so that you get a good picture from verse 11 to the end. Will you give it to Victor or Laura here, the microphone? We're going to read from verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 11 to the end, because this will give you a picture of what the church was thinking about the coming of the Lord.
In that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Why do you think the Apostle Paul had to write these to the church of Thessalonica, the best church ever in the time being of the expedition of the apostles? This is the number one church. You read 1 Thessalonians 1, you get impressed with this. What was the question of the church? In verse 13, maybe will help you. What was the church concern? Looks like it. They have a concern. What was their concern? So many people die and the Lord is not here. Wait a minute. See, they knew this business that God has a plan, is bring the church, and after the church, he comes. There's no an intermezzo. He comes. All right? So the people were concerned about that. You know why they were concerned? If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and then verse 1 and verse 2, you know why they were so concerned. All right? Maybe Lara have it. Lara, you have it. And here comes the microphone. And Lara will read it for us. 2 Thessalonians verse 1 and 2, answer to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. Go ahead.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that day, that the day of Christ is at hand.
You see what's happening? They were troubled. They were troubled because somebody really falsified the signature of Paul and sent a letter. Said the Lord already came. You know, those people who try to guess what God does, they're all the time here from the year 50. So imagine how much will be in every century. I know when the Lord comes. I know this and I know the other. And give me all your money. Watch out for those who say, give me all your money. We're going to invest it for the gospel because the Lord's coming this day. This is dangerous. So Paul tell us, guys, I know that some of your family died, but this is the process of God. It's another revelation. You will die, then the Lord is going to come. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first, then the judgment to come, all right? And then in 2 Thessalonians, he said, guys, quiet. There are some crooks over there. They sent a letter like it's my letter, but it's not my letter. Don't panic. So you see then that when you read Revelation, you will have the precise prophecy. Think on this. The precise prophecy of what God is doing from the time the church is installed on earth. Not from the time of Israel, that's Daniel. Daniel tells you the time of Israel from Abraham to the end of their thing. But the book of Revelation tells the time from Christ to the end. Now, you got the prophecy? Is that clear? Is there any question? All right, now we go to the outline. Remember, I want to put these for you. And here is the outline. I call these verses 1 to 3, the preface. What do you want to call it? Is that a good thought? Or you maybe have another thought. I call this, the preface? That's how you pronounce it? Preface. That's the preface. Any other suggestion? We type it up. All right? The preface. God is staying what's going on in the book. All right? That's how you can put anything you want to. I said, this is the preface. All right? Now is my time to you. I have been squeezed for 35 minutes to explain you this. Now I squeeze you. Real life, I call it. All right? Real life. Give an example how these preface help us concerning the coming of the Lord. How the preface help you? You want to speak? Oh, I thought you wanted to say, okay. How did these, Anthony wanted right away come in and explain everything. Concerning the coming of the Lord, these help you. And if you are listening, remember, 408-778-2595, you can tell us. How do you think these... Now, this is a real analysis from God in three verses. So the no crook move you away. Now, how do these help you, these coming of the Lord? All right? Anybody? All right? Come on. Yes, Brother Ken. Yeah. They give you an outline of the future. We have a future with God, not with anybody, at the mercy of anybody. That's the way it helped me. That's why I get excited about Revelation. I start reading and say, oh, I understand this. Oh, I understand this other. Oh, I don't understand this. Oh, I don't understand this other, but I understand this other. And little by little, like a puzzle, you know, and you put yourself working together, and very soon you have some pieces of the puzzle, and you know that God is working his plan. We are not at the mercy of the world's plan. We are not under Mussolini, Hitler. We are not under Saddam Hussein, Stanley, what's the Russian dictator? All of these people. No, these are just little puppets that comes in history and God uses it for a purpose. But God has a plan. This is the way he helped me. An engineer always wants to have a plan. What are we going to do? He said, where do we start? Where do we finish? That's our first question. Where do we start? Where do we finish? And what do we build? Okay? And God said, I started with Israel and give us Daniel. Now I started the church and give us Revelation. And then we're going to be with him forever. All right? Beautiful. Second question. Concerning direct revelation from God. How these... Preface help you. Direct revelation from God. How that help you? Russell, how that help you?
It started with God.
In other words, anything that started with a man, with a question mark, it started with God. Now, if somebody said, where do you have the revelation from God? Where do you say?
The Bible.
See, that matches. Now, question number 3. Concerning the sealed book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. The book says, seal the book. You see that? So, from Daniel all the way to Jesus, nobody bothers to talk about the coming of God to earth. They were talking about the power of Israel and the glory of Israel and the control of Israel in this world. And so, God gave them away and got the church, see, going. Now, the sealed book of Daniel, no man, you know what tells me? That no man is able to understand it until God opened the book. So when somebody said, you know, now I have understanding and God opened the book to me. Too bad. God opened the book to Jesus. Jesus gave it to an angel gave it to John, not to you, fella. You know, these is nice things. These are little, Professor Schaefer used to say from Lavery, these are golden nuts that you put in your sleeve. When somebody comes with something, you take one of them and drop it and see what happens. It's just beautiful. When somebody said, I got a revelation from God, I said, well, I wonder, because the last revelation was given to John. You must be before John. How old are you? You know, something like that. All right. Concerning the end of the world age, what that tells you concerning the end of the world age? Jesus will be with us, one thing. What else?
It will come to pass.
It will come to pass. But all would happen how? In God's time and under God's direction. In other words, God has a plan, and the plan of God, just glimpses of that plan are here in Revelation. And we perhaps know more today than 1,000 years ago. Yes, possible, because we saw what happened in the world. Because many of the events of the book of Revelation had to do with this world and already happened. But I tell you one thing, a book of Revelation is a sure thing. That's what the Bible said, blessed is he that readeth and keep it. And we pastors have been guilty of not teaching the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation have caused arguments. And the reason they have caused arguments is because everybody teaches from their point of view. I read a book and said, this book is from the Reformed point of view. I got another book, this book is from the Methodist point of view. Let's put the point of view away and read it like it is. And then we're going to get what point of view? God's point of view. All right? Thank you, Father, for the glorious presentation of your book. It's magnificent. Unbelievable. Excited. So, Father, help us to know little by little the things you want us to know so that we spend our life in this earth serving you, loving you, and worshiping you. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. God bless you.